Warning, although this podcast revolves around Disney, Disney movies, and Disney-related themes, we have a tendency to use mature language, which is not suitable for all ages. Discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the third and final part of the Ocho and Ortiz Disney Podcast September 2022 Disney World Trip Review. We're not going to waste any more time. Without further ado, let's get this thing started. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is the third and final installment of the September edition of the Ocho and Ortiz Disney World trip review. We still have the January trip to cover. We still have a episode where we're going to review the foods and restaurants that we went to and the food that we ate. And I think we're also...
I think we should throw in Universal as well.
I was just about to say, so... This was what I'm thinking, because the way the release sets up is because I am releasing episodes every other week. So part one just came out today as we are recording this, which is September 10th. So part two will come out on September 24th. Mm-hmm. The episode that we're recording today will release on October 8th. I'm thinking, when you get back from Universal and Disney World, because you're leaving this Friday, you're leaving on the 16th, or this Saturday, I should say, and you're doing Halloween Horror Nights again. So what I'm thinking when you get back...
Halloween Town Review!
Yes, because the episode that will come out after this one will be released on October 22nd, and I may even hold it over another week specifically so it comes out 2 days before Halloween on the 29th. We'll see, but I do think we should do the Universal review once you get back. You can talk about the Halloween Horror Nights and everything. That gives us our little Halloween episode. Then the next episode will be discussing our January trip. The episode after that will be our review for Frozen, because by the time that episode releases, it'll be right around the 10th anniversary of the release of the original Frozen. So we'll do our review of Frozen then, and then like first week of December, we'll do the food review, and then we'll go from there. But I think that's going to be our episodes for the next couple of weeks and months coming up. That's going to cover us for October, for the rest of September, October, and going into November. So I think that should be the plan.
I like that plan, but I don't think you heard me well, did you?
What did you say?
I didn't say Halloween review. I said Halloween Town review.
So I think that sounds like a good plan. I think that's a perfect plan. I don't know what Josh said. I just keep getting static every time he talks.
Wait, what? Oh, come on, really?
But I think it's appropriate that the last episode covering our September 2022 trip is being recorded today. Like I said, we're recording this on September 10th. And I think that's appropriate, Josh, because a year ago today was the last day of our September 2022 trip. And
wait, hello? Are you actually getting static or no?
No. No, I'm just not doing what the fuck you said.
You dick. I was trying to fucking fix my microphone because of that. You asshole. I started fiddling around with it and unplugging it. You're such a dick.
I might have a
quick idea for a December episode coming close to it if something happens, buddy Dave, because you know Ava and I are going in November, right, to Florida.
I did not know that. I thought Ava was coming with you on your trip next week.
No. Whiten and Olivia are coming next week. Ava and I are going in November for that Orlando Informer meetup party thing at Universal Studios. Remember, I swear I told you about that, right? Because it was like quite a bit of money. But yeah, so we're doing that.
You did, but I guess for some reason I thought it was for this upcoming trip because I thought Ava was coming with you in this upcoming trip and you just added Whiten and Olivia at the last minute to go with you.
No. I was going by myself and then Whiten and he's like, I'll come with you. I'm like, all right. And then we ended up booking Cabana Bay for almost the whole week.
Nice.
What we did was we booked a random ass hotel for the first night because it's too expensive everywhere else. Then we splurged a little bit for the next hotel because it's the one of those fancy ones that gets us the express pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we booked Cabana Bay for the next 4 or 5 nights. And then he's leaving on the Friday, and that's the day I go to Busch Gardens in Tampa.
Nice. Yeah.
But Av and I are going in November for that meetup thing. And we're discussing going a day early so that we can hit Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
You son of a bitch. I want to do that.
I know you do. But that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I'll have a little Christmassy trip report then there, Dave.
We will see. But as I was saying, like, so September 10th, 2023, right now we are recording the last episode of our September 2022 trip, which wrapped up on September 10th, 2022. But it's also the 1 year anniversary, Josh, of the worst fucking poutine I've ever had.
I saw you repost that today, and I was dying because I remember when you first tried them, and you're like, "This is the worst thing I've ever had in my life."
That fucking poutine was a war crime. It should be put on trial for crimes against humanity. It was atrocious, and it should never again see the light of day. But you're gonna have to let me know when you go to Food and Wine Festival next week. You're gonna have to let me know if that poutine is back. Because if so, I need you to find out exactly what it is that they put on it, because I still don't know what the hell that they added to it. I mean, they had the fries.
I will tell you what's on right now. Hang on.
Oh, do they have the list online?
Maybe not there, but Disney Food Blog 100% will.
Oh, yeah. DFB Guide. Shout out to DFB Guide.
They don't know who the fuck we are.
I don't care if they don't know who we are. I know who they are, and I'm shouting them out because they do a goddamn
job. Oh, they do a fantastic job. I love them, especially when it comes to food and wine. Food and Wine 2023. Here we go. And let's go scroll down to Canada. Where is the Canadian Pavilion? Bullshit. This is the Ocho and Ortiz.
Song interlude.
I was gonna say karaoke. Welcome to Ocho and Ortiz karaoke, where we always sing is Frozen. Let it go, let it go.
We sing more than just Frozen. We don't sing anything well, but
High School Musical.
Have you found that recipe yet, Josh?
I have not. Calm down.
You calm down.
Oh, wow, that was pretty interesting. And I typed in that and that popped up. Okay. Oh, was it not at the Canadian thing? I thought it was.
It was.
Maybe it's not there this year? I think I know where it is. It's not a part of the Canadian Food and Wine thing. It's just at the Canadian Pavilion.
Yeah, it's one of the kiosks.
Huh?
It was one of the kiosks.
Because on this year, it's only showing the Canadian cheddar and bacon soup and the filet mignon.
Yeah, because that's where the poutine was, too. It was at the same place that sold that.
Maybe it was just horrible.
Maybe they got the hint with all my Twitter reviews over the last year.
Yeah, I went to 2022, and the food for Canada is the bacon soup and the lasagna. It's, you know what? I know exactly where it is, and I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not the Canadian one. It's something else.
I swear it was Canadian, because I swear I got
it. It's right beside the Canadian booth.
Dead air that I'm going to have to edit. And we haven't even got into today's topic.
Epcot poutine. I like that they actually have a fucking search bar.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier.
Why is it not here, though? Oh, it's the refreshment port is the one that had it. Oh, I think okay. I might have found it, Dave.
Okay, what's it say?
It's the traditional poutine. This is what it says. Traditional poutine French fries with beef gravy, cheese curds, and crumbled boursin, garlic, and fine herbs. That's 100% what it was.
Whatever it was fucking awful. I hated it.
Because this is at the refreshment port. That's the one that's right beside the Canadian Pavilion, right before you walk in there. Yep, that was it, Dave. Because it's got that, what is it, boursin? Boursin? I don't know what the fuck it's called. B-O-U-R-I-S-I-N.
B-O-U-R-S-I-N. S-I-N.
That's that little blob from the picture that you posted today, or reposted, whatever. That's that little blob that's on there.
Boursin cheese. Derived from a traditional party dish, fromage frais, Brusson cheese combines savory herbs and rich flavors with creamy yet crumbly, it says gourmet, I think it meant to say gourmet cheese. Either way, that shit wasn't crumbly at all.
No, and if you look at your picture, Dave, you can tell the distinction between that and the cheese curds.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, yeah. 100%.
Welcome to Ocho and Ortiz discuss how to make poutine.
Or discuss dark. How not to make poutine.
Welcome to Ocho and Ortiz after dark. Dave, you just keep flashing in and out. We're professional.
All right, enough of that bullshit. So we are the poutine was off. If you go to the refreshment section in the Canadian Pavilion this year for Epcot Food and Wine, do not get the poutine. It was disgusting. Just absolutely not. I've never seen poutine made that way ever in my years of being Canadian. So avoid it at all costs. Wait until Food and Wine is over and they just go back to regular poutine with fries, gravy, and cheese curds. Because when I had it in January when we were there, it was just regular poutine with cheese, with fries, gravy, and cheese curds, and it was fine. Whatever they try to do to fancy it up for Food and Wine was atrocious. But we are here to talk about Hollywood Studios. And Josh, you... On all the other parks that we've covered, you've listed the icons of the park. So obviously Tree of Life for Animal Kingdom, the Spaceship Earth Ball for Epcot, obviously the castle for Magic Kingdom. Why don't you, before we get into things, cover the icon for Hollywood Studios?
So here's, you know what, I kind of want to look it up and see what they can, I mean, like, I know what they're considering it now. But you weren't there back in the, when I first started going, again, I've been going for like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years now. But when I first went there, and a lot of people hated it, it was called the Sorcerer Mickey, they had the giant Sorcerer Mickey hat with the ears and everything.
Yes.
It was really cool. It was right in the middle of like when you first walked in. But they got rid of it. And a lot of people complained because it would block the way of seeing the Chinese theater that's in LA. Well, there's a replica at Magic Kingdom, and then there's a ride inside that as well. That's what we'll talk about later. But now what they use as the icon there is the Hollywood Tower of Terror.
Yes.
And that is absolutely one of my favorite rides. Dave will not go on it.
I will not. No,
I've said I would like to get married there. That'd be cool. I love that ride. Fuck. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Yeah. Everyone has a icon that is now Hollywood Studios icon, because that is on when you ever have like a picture or you see something of all the icons, that's what's used for, that's what represents Hollywood Studios. And it's a fantastic representation.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I had been able to be there when the giant Mickey Sorcerer's hat was there, but yeah.
Have you ever seen that? Like a picture of it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen the pictures of it, but yeah, no, they took it down, and yeah, as you said, most people associate Tower of Terror as the icon for Hollywood Studios now.
Yep. And that's, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a few things, like people asked what is it before, but since it's Hollywood Tower, that's what it is now, right? It's either that or the Chinese theater, but most people consider it like the Hollywood Tower Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready to get into this, Dave?
I am.
Ready to talk about some rides?
I am more than ready to get into Hollywood Studios and talk about some rides.
All right, let's do this then. We're going to talk about one that I know you definitely went on. We're going to go a little bit towards the back of the park. And we'll talk about Toy Story Midway Mania.
Fun ride. You're just kind of shooting things, and you're competing against the other person in your car to try and get the most points. And it's just a fun ride. It's 3D, right? You have to have the 3D glasses on.
Yep.
Yeah. And the lineup's pretty cool because there's like a talking Mr. Potato Head, and it was good hearing Don Rickles' voice again. Of course, Don Rickles voiced Mr. Potato Head, unfortunately. Passed away a couple of years ago. He was one of my comedy icons growing up when I was a kid. I absolutely loved listening to Don Rickles. My dad had a whole bunch of his old comedy records, and I would listen to those things constantly. So it was good hearing Don Rickles' voice again as the talking Mr. Potato Head while you're waiting in line. But it's a fun ride. I would, if I'm rating it, I would probably give it a 7. But yeah, it's 7. It's fun. And like I said, you're just trying to compete and score the most points. There's like a little drawstring thing that you pull that shoots at the targets. It's fun, but for me, it's one that's not super memorable. Like, if we hadn't gone back on it in January, I would have no recollection of the ride at all. It's only because we went back on it in January that I have memory of it. Because even in January, when we went there and you said we had been on it in September, I had no recollection of being on there in September until we actually got on and did the ride. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember this one now. But yeah, no, I'll give it a 7. It's a fun ride.
Nice. I like the ride. It's maybe just because I go too hard. My arm is killing me by the end of it because I'm pulling that fucking string to make sure I get a whole bunch of points on that bitch. My forearm is just done by the time we're done. I'm like, okay, no, it's one done or one and do it fucking hours later. So let's just stay there in the Toy Story section. I don't know if we ever went on this. Did you ever go on the Swirling Saucers?
I was looking at that earlier today because I was trying to remember all the rides that were at Hollywood Studios, but I don't think I did. I honestly don't think I did. If we did,
No recollection.
It's a zero recollection.
I'm not gonna lie. It just kind of swings you around. It's not worth the wait. That one, because it's semi new or 4 or 5 years old now. It's not worth the wait. That's what it is. And I think that's probably what I said to him. Like, Dave, look at this, and then look at the wait. It was like a 45 minutes, an hour wait. And you're like, fuck all that noise. Which sounds about right. Again, you never go on it. I've been on it. It's okay. It throws you around. If it's a short wait, I'll hop on it. If it's not a short wait, not a fucking chance.
Fair enough.
But we're going to close out Toy Story. And I got to ask you if you did this. I don't think you did.
Slinky Dog?
Did you go on Slinky Dog?
No.
No?
No.
Didn't go. I got to get you on Slinky Dog.
Didn't go on it in September. You tried to get me on it in January. And I still refused to go on it in January. I ended up holding all your bags because I don't think they were stopping people from taking their bags with them. So you guys had to come and turn back around. And I had like everybody's fucking bags. And I was wearing like five bags at a time. But when you guys got off the ride.
That's amazing.
I just wish I had thought of getting one of you guys to take a picture of me wearing all the bags, but I didn't think about it at the time because it was fucking awesome. But yeah, no, Slinky Dog is one that I absolutely did not go on.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna ask you I don't remember if this was open when we went. I know it wasn't open when we went in September, but it might have been open when you went when we went in January, and I can't remember if you did this. The Indiana Jones stunt show.
I did it alone in January.
Okay, so we'll talk about that in January.
Yes, then. Yeah. But I did do that one. Was it actually closed in September? I don't think it
was. It was closed in September and then opened in November or October right after we left. A little bit after we left.
Because I remember it being open in September because I was gonna do it on the last day because the last day we were there, it was you and Shabby were doing your own thing and I was doing my own thing on the last day. But there was that point where we met up for lunch right around that area where Indiana Jones was, And I remember I was going to do Indiana Jones because the wait time was only like 20 minutes, but I didn't end up doing it because I went to get food instead. So I unless they just randomly were testing the clock, but I swear it said 20 minutes in September when I was there, and then I just decided to get food instead. But like I said, they may have just been testing the clock system or whatever. But yeah, it is one that I ended up doing in January on my own. So we'll get more into that one when we do the January episode.
Okay. You know what? Maybe you're right, because I just did a quick check and it looks like it's saying December 19th is when it reopened, 2021. So I guess so. But yeah. All right. Next one then there, Dave. This one, I was pretty sure you were going to like it. I just didn't know how much you would like it. And I'm pretty sure you did like it. And we're going to go with the Frozen Ever After sing-along show.
Oh, I forgot to put that one down in my notes. I love that. That was such a fun fucking show. I forget what they call them, but basically the Masters of
the Royal Historians of Arendelle.
The Royal Historians of Arendelle. Whoever the guy was fucking amazing.
That's Sir Eric.
Well, I just mean whoever the cast member was that was playing that role did such a fantastic job. He was absolute. I mean, both of them did a fantastic job, but he really stood out, and it was phenomenal. I loved it, and I think when we went back in January, it was closed because I wanted to do that one again. But I think it was closed for some reason when we went back.
We went because I remember we had Olivia with us.
Well, then it would have just been you, Olivia, and Whiten, because I know for sure I didn't go in January with you.
Huh.
Because I just did it the once in September. But yeah. That was a fantastic show. Like, for me, that was just because of how good the performers were, that for me is an absolute 10. I loved it.
Fair enough. I love. So here's the thing is that particular show is what made me actually want to go and watch Frozen. So I had never seen Frozen before. And the building that it's in used to be the American Idol experience. So they would actually have guests go in and, you know, they would audition. And if they were good enough for the judges, they would go on to the live shows. And they'd have about six or seven, maybe I think there would be like about six, five or six live shows, right? And whoever won, it would go by audience vote. Whoever won that would go on to the final episode, the final day's show. If you won throughout the day, you would get to go, you get like fast passes throughout the whole day. And then you'd go, when you get to the final episode, it would be the winners from the previous five. And the winner of that would actually get a front row ticket to go to, or like they'd get basically get to skip the line for actual real American Idol audition. Instead of having to wait in like the giant lines that you always see on TV, mm-hmm. you skip all of it and just get to go and actually audition.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because yeah. I was going to say, like, that was a really big theater. Yeah. It was a really, really big theater and with a big stage. So, yeah, it makes sense that they did something else like American Idol there before Frozen. But I also love the fact, like, there's a snow effect that goes on during the end of that performance.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have video of it on, I think I still have the video of it on my phone. I'll have to double check. But that was just such an amazing show. I loved it.
Yeah. And that one is definitely, I remember we definitely did that with Olivia because she hated the snow. Because it's bubbles that come down.
Yeah, I definitely didn't do it in January. I definitely didn't do it in January. It would have just been you, Ava, Whiten, and Olivia. But yeah, I only did it in September.
Fair enough.
But I also know that we had in January, like we had different park reservations. We didn't do the same parks every day. And I swear one of the days that I did Hollywood Studios, because I think I did 2 days at Hollywood Studios. I know for sure one of the days the ride was closed or the show was closed for some reason because I wanted to go and I was checking the wait times and it was closed. So for whatever reason, the day that I did want to go back to do it in January, it was closed for the day for some reason. So,
yeah, well, that sucks. But I love that show. It's so fucking fantastic. The actors on it are hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Eric. That's great. All right. Moving on. I'm going to talk about one quickly that I know you didn't go on. You refused to go on, and that's fine because it was a roller coaster. I'm going to talk about Rock and Roller Coaster.
It was closed in September, though.
Was it? Okay, then we're not going to talk about Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, because you wanted to do it, but it was closed in September.
Boo. I love that ride. It's a roller coaster themed to Aerosmith.
I mean, you can still talk about it if you want, but it was definitely closed in September when we went. It was undergoing renovations.
Oh, right. But yeah, it's a roller coaster. It's in the dark, but they have like some strobe lights and some different effects and sets that are inside there. Like you actually go through the Hollywood sign. You're supposed to look like you're in a stretch limo going to the Aerosmith concert. And it starts, it actually shoots you from like 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds or something like that. Like you just shoot out going forward. And that's when it takes your picture. And then as soon as you go forward, it's straight into a loop. Which I know Dave would not like.
No.
I do not do loops.
No.
One of the best parts is that it's like Guardians of the Galaxy where it's blasting music in your ears, but it's all Aerosmith songs. So it's fantastic. If you're a giant Aerosmith fan, I love it.
So Guardians, as we touched on in the Epcot episode, has five different tracks from Guardians. How many different Aerosmith songs are there for the Rock and Roller Coaster?
Oh, that's a great question, Dave. I mean, like, I know personally I've gotten at least 3 or 4.
Nice.
I know I've heard Dude Looks Like a Lady, Love in the Elevator, Sweet Emotion. You know, I don't think I've ever heard I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, but that's not really a fast-paced song anyways, right?
Sweet Emotion seems like it would be a good one for that type of ride. Dream On seems like it would be another good one. I don't know if they use Dream On, but...
I've never heard it. Rock and Roller Coaster...
Josh is looking up the Rock and Roller Coaster track list.
I am. I'm very... Let's see. Soundtrack. Here we go. Why are you not telling... Oh.
So, from what I can see, it's Walk This Way, Dude Looks Like a Lady, Sweet Emotion, and Back in the Saddle.
So, it looks like there's 5 different soundtrackers. And this is just one of the things that it says. Oh, wait, no. This is Paris. Whatever. Whatever you say. Oh, here we go. Oh, each one has a different... Oh, that's cool. So it looks like license... So each different car has a different license plate, right? And the license plate and songs heard on each car. So one of them... So you'll have 9 Lives was a song. Love in an Elevator and Walk This Way Together. Young Lust, Fine and Love in an Elevator. Sung as Love in a Roller Coaster. Back in the Saddle, Dude Looks Like a Lady is one of them together. Sweet Emotion is one. And yeah, What Kind of Lover You Are. That's cool. I didn't ever realize it depends on what seat you got. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So shout out to the Imagineers for coming up with that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty dope. Okay, so I love that ride. My girlfriend does not like that ride. She went on it once. I had a headache and felt like nauseous for the rest of the day. Okay, next one. We're going to talk about one of the newest rides that are there. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Long fucking lineups. Lineups for that one. But it's a fun ride. It's another one where you sort of go on and the car, it's like Journey where, or sorry, it's like Journey into Imagination with Figment where you start off with a couple of cars attached to each other and then as the ride goes along, the cars separate and become like individual cars before like you reattach. Because isn't that the one where the cars go into the... at one point, they go into the ballroom with Daisy?
Yeah, but they don't do that on Figment.
No, Figment, the... Because in Figment, aren't you in a set of 4 to begin with? Like, with two people each, and then they separate and join back together at the end?
They don't separate. It's 4 cars each for Figment, but they don't separate. They're all just on one track. That one's an actual track ride.
But... Oh, so they just spin, but they don't actually detach.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, because, yeah, there is that part in Figment where they sort of spin around, and so I just assumed they, like, detached from each other, but...
No, I... You never went on... Did you ever get on Remy or no?
Yeah, in January.
Yeah, so Remy detaches, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's a trackless ride, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, Figment's on a track. the new thing with rides, or some of them are non-trackless, right? So that's what Mickey and Minnie is. It's a trackless ride.
Yeah, and it's a good ride. I don't know what I would rate it. Probably another one that I would give a 7. It's a good ride, but the lineups are way too long, and I don't know if I would say it's worth the wait or not. It is fun, but if you can get it when it's like 50 minutes or less, I'd say do it, but anything above that, it's probably not worth the wait time.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's a cute little ride.
Yeah. It'll definitely be fun for the kids.
For kids. Yeah. My thing is that there was a ride there before called the Great Movie Ride. And that was one of my favorite rides ever there. And I loved that ride. And this is just nowhere near as good as that ride.
This is the one that's in the theater that's supposed to be like the Chinese theater. Yeah, no, it's a fun ride, and basically you start off where you're supposed to be on a train, you know, being driven by Goofy.
Yeah.
And it's a fun ride, and obviously Goofy's like one of the funnest characters. I absolutely love Goofy. But yeah, again, I'd still say 7, and I was debating 6.5 just because of the long wait times, but yeah, I'll stick to 7 and say if you can get on it when it's like a 50 minute or less wait time, go for it. Anything above that, do something else. Try to wait for later in the day for the lines to go down. But because I remember being there in January and I want to do that again, but like there was never a time where it was under like 80, I think maybe 70 was the lowest, but most of the time it was 80 minutes or above. And I was like, no, nope, not waiting in line for that.
That's fair. All right, next we're going to talk about a quick little thing about something you've never been on there, Dave. And that's what we called, when we talked about it before, the icon of the park, the Hollywood Tower of Terror Hotel.
Absolutely will not do that. That one's a drop ride. And I absolutely will not do that at all.
Fair. But I know you've probably watched it. It is one of my favorite episodes to watch on Behind the Attraction. Have you watched that?
I have not watched Behind the Attraction yet. I've watched the Imagineers, the Imagineering series, but I have not watched that one.
Oh, you need to watch that one. Dude, it's so fucking good. And what's really cool about this, they talk about how like they went to a elevator like manufacturer and said, hey, we want to drop it. And they're like, what? but they can't to make it like safe. They can't just drop it to get that feel of the zero gravity and the G-force and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
They're not able to just drop it. Right. You need to go faster. So what's crazy is that when you're falling, you're actually not falling. There's a cable that's on top and on the bottom, and you're actually getting pulled down. And that's what they came up with, right? It's insane. If you go watch that ride, dude, or go watch that episode, or just go watch that show. That show is fantastic in itself.
It is still not a ride that I will get on, but it sounds fascinating. I'll definitely check out the behind the scenes of how they do it, but yeah, that's definitely not a ride I'm getting on.
Oh, you should definitely get on it. It's one of my favorite rides, because like I said, it's like Dave said, it's a drop. It's supposed to be a drop one. It's supposed to be a little spooky, so it's awesome. You're supposed to be going into the Twilight Zone, and you're supposed to be going into a service maintenance elevator, and it's supposed to be a night where like when other people disappeared. And you go into the elevator and it just goes up and down, and the elevator doors open. You can see outside and it drops you again. It's one of my favorite rides. Absolutely favorite rides. It's so great. But yeah, since Dave won't go on that one, I'll have to drug him and put him on. What? I didn't say that. So now we're going to talk about one of Dave's favorite things there, probably. Muppet Vision 3D.
My personal bias is a 10. I fucking love, like, it's the same goddamn thing from when I went there when I was a kid, like back in the 90s. Like it hasn't changed a bit. It's like the same everything. And it for me, it's just that nostalgia because it's all the original outside. Well, I don't know if Jim Henson would have been voicing Kermit at the time or not, because I think it opened just after he passed. So I don't know if he had I don't know if he was voicing Kermit when they filmed it, or if it would have been Steve Whitmire at that point. But anyways, it's most of the original, if not all the original Muppet voices. So for me, it brings a great sense of nostalgia because so many of them are either no longer doing the voices or just no longer with us in general. So hearing those voices brings me back to the childhood. Having said that, the theater is just so grungy and is in desperate need of an upgrade and fucking renovations. And I mean, just for nostalgia bias, it's a 10, but just for overall experience with the grunginess of the theater and the fact that it does need an upgrade, I hate to do it, but I'm probably going to drop this down to a 6. And it physically pains me on the inside to even say that, but I got to be honest about it. The theater definitely needs some renovations. And the thing I love is right outside is across from the theater is Pizza Rizzo. And I know people hate Pizza Rizzo. Like, Disney Food Blog rips Pizza Rizzo all the time. And yeah, the pizza's not the greatest there, but I fucking love Pizza Rizzo. Like, anytime I do Muppet Vision 3D, both when we went in September and then when we went in January, every time I did Muppet Vision 3D, I ended up going to Pizza Rizzo afterwards. It's just, I don't know why I love it so much. I really don't know why. It's not even average pizza, to be honest, but it's still, you know, it's okay pizza. Plus they give you a nice Caesar salad to go with it. I don't know. I love Pizza Rizzo, I think just because of the whole Muppet theme of it. But yeah, so fuck, 10 for the nostalgia, but 6 for the honest opinion of Muppet Vision. But yeah, I love it. I love it to death, but it needs an upgrade. And I hate to say that because I know an upgrade means that they're probably just going to create a new movie for it. And that means they're going to get the new voices. And I'm not a fan of all the new voices. Some of them are fantastic, but there are some members of the new cast of Muppets that I just, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. So yeah, it breaks my heart that they are eventually going to renovate that and either renovate and upgrade it and change it to something new with the Muppets, or get rid of it altogether and come up with just something else in its place. And that is going to be a heartbreaking day for me.
Well, that's fair. It's an old one. It's a classic. I mean, I'm pretty sure I said this on our Muppet episode that I'm not the biggest fan of the Muppets, but this show is fun. I like this show. And what kills me about it too is Statler Waldorf just like sitting up in the corner, up in the fucking the cheap seats up there. And it's just fucking, they're just hilarious in that show. And so is Beaker. Beaker's the best. I don't give a fuck.
Is it Beaker or the Swedish chef that towards the end of it shoots the big cannon at the back of the theater?
It's the Swedish chef.
Yeah. He's fucking fantastic in it too. I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's going to break my heart when they change that.
That's fair. All right, moving on. We're down to our final section of the park. Well, there's one more ride, actually. This ride is right near Muppet Vision 3D. We're going to talk about Star Tours.
So I like Star Tours. It's another one where, you know, it gives you different scenarios every time you ride it. And I think like the first 3 times I rode it, I got the same fucking thing, because I rode it in September a couple of times and in January. And I think it was like my 4th attempt before I finally got something different. And that was in January.
Holy fuck.
And I mean, between the 3, Rise of the Resistance, Smuggler's Run, and Star Tours, I would definitely say Star Tours for me is ranked 3rd out of them. Mm-hmm. But I'll still go ahead and give it a 7. But it's a fun one. It's definitely a fun one. But it's if you're looking to do one of the Star Wars ones, definitely do either Smuggler's Run or Rise of the Resistance. Save this one for last until you've done the other ones, because especially Rise still has long... There are certain times of days where you can get to Rise and have shorter lineups, but it's still, for the most part, a long lineup throughout the day. So definitely definitely get to Rise and Smuggler's Run first. But yeah, Star Tours, I'll give a 7.
Fair enough. Star Tours is actually an older one. I think it's been there since the park opened, to be honest with you, maybe a little bit after. So it's been upgraded and updated a lot.
Yes.
My little backstory on this for me. The very first time we went on this ride, it was one of the first times we went to Disney that I can remember. It was me, my mom, my sister. And we went on the ride. We were staying at, it was called the Travel Lodge. I think Whiten was there with us too. And we went on the ride, and you know how all the rides, this one as well, will end in a gift shop.
Yes. Yeah.
We walked out, and my mom looked around and saw the gift shop, and she went, "Oh, fuck." Because she didn't know that it went into a Star Wars gift shop, and I am a huge Star Wars nerd, because she was like, and then she immediately looked at me, and I lit up like a kid in a candy store, right? And she looked at me, and she's like, "You can get two things." I was like, yes. I was so excited. I didn't know what the fuck I was gonna get. I remember I ended up getting like a Trivial Pursuit Star Wars game, and there was this. Do you remember that ball from the original Star Wars when Luke is training? That one that keeps.
Yes. Yeah. On the Falcon. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a ball like that, but it connected to the TV, right? And what you would do is it came with a fake lightsaber too, where that ball was like a sensor. So when you would like move the lightsaber in front of it, it would be like you were moving it on the TV. This is like 20 years ago, dude. Right. So everyone's like that's like a normal thing now. Right. But back in like then it was a special little thing. And I remember getting that and was so excited to use that. And yeah, I love that. Right. That's one of my favorite memories of going to Disney is my mom just going, "Oh shit." It was so fucking funny. I love that ride. They're updating it again. Well, not they are with the new Ahsoka show coming out right now on Disney Plus.
Okay.
They announced that actually at D23 this past weekend that some of Ahsoka's adventures from the show will now be integrated into that ride as well. So that's new things to look forward to.
Nice.
And I'm excited for that. So next ride is the last rides are in the same section, or not the same section, but they're in their final section in the Star Wars section there, Galaxy's Edge. Aaron, the next one is Smuggler's Run.
I have been waiting to talk about this one.
Really?
So.
I thought you'd wait to talk about the next one, but okay.
Smuggler's Run. The first time I did this, I had such an experience on this. So this is another ride that has a single rider lane, and Josh was like, "Let's just do single rider because it's going to be too long to wait in the regular lineup. You know, we may not be put together, but it will be faster." I'm like, "Okay, cool." So Josh was ahead of me. He gets selected in a different group. We do end up getting split up. I get put in a group right behind him. I'm supposed to be right behind him. And I get put in a group, and at the time, we still only have 4 people. It was because the ride holds 6 people. You have 2 pilots, 2 gunners, and 2 navigators.
Engineers, sorry.
And so you need, it takes 6 people. So there was a group of 4, and I got added to the group of 4, and they were looking for somebody to come into the group as a 6th person. But the rest of the line were people that were all together, and there was no one else in the single rider line behind me. It was just Josh and I that were there at the time as single riders. So my group of 5 got shoved aside, and I think we were just completely forgotten about. Eventually, somebody came in the single rider line, and so they put her with us, with the group that I got put with. So now we have a full 6. So we have a full six, and we're being moved around, but we have like 3 different cast members telling us where to go. So, And the original group of four that I got put with, two people were handicapped maybe not handicapped, but because you don't have to be handicapped to rent the mobility scooters in Disney World. You can actually just rent them. So, but two of the people were in disability scooters. And I do think one of them had crutches, so they couldn't move. So they pushed us to a side, and everything got confused. Next thing I know, it was me and this other girl who came, like, after as a single rider. We get put into the ride, and the other group of four, nowhere to be seen. Have no idea what happened to them, no idea where they went. So on this six-person ride that I had already been waiting, like, 30 minutes for after Josh had been put on it, because I was waiting for this sixth person. I had five, but we needed six. So after all this time, it ended up being only me and this other girl who's a single rider. And it turns out she actually works at Disney World. She works at Epcot, and she's never experienced this before either, because her and I were talking a bit before the ride started, after we were seated and, you know, made sure we were buckled in and everything, and they were closing the doors. Because she also noticed as a cast member working at Epcot, she noticed the pin, because Josh got me a Disney World pin that said happy birthday, but because they were out of my first, because they were out of my first visit pins. So he got one that said happy birthday, but he had the person that sold it to him cross it out and put happy my first visit. But because cast members are trained just to look at the colors of the buttons, everyone was wishing me a happy birthday the whole time. And that's initially what this other person in Smuggler's Run had wished me as well. She saw the pin and was like, oh, happy birthday. I'm like, actually, it's not till December. They were just out of my first visit trip. So I'm like, it's actually crossed out and says happy my first Disney trip. And she laughed at that. She thought that was awesome. But yeah, it was such an experience that first time the experience itself shoots that up to a 10. Because I remember I remember coming out and you were waiting and you're like, what the hell happened to you? You're like, I've been out here for like,
died or something.
You're like, I've been out here for 40 minutes. I thought you died. And then I explained the situation to you. And the experience itself made that a 10, but the ride itself, I'll probably give an 8. But yeah, it is definitely a fun ride to go on, but that weird wacky experience that, you know, is probably a one in a million type of experience. Obviously, not everybody is gonna have a similar experience, but it made it so fun and confusing and amazing. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that's a that's a great fucking story. I love that ride. We never really talked about the ride, so it's supposed to be like a simulator. Where, like, well, you did say there's six people, two pilots, two gunners, and two engineers, and you're supposed to be sitting in the Millennium Falcon, piloting the Millennium Falcon, and you're supposed to go and get you're supposed to be like pirates and stealing the coaxium for, oh, fuck, I don't remember what his name is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you because I don't remember either.
He's from the Clone Wars. Oh, God. I can't remember his name, but yeah, he's from there, and they have an actual like animatronic of him throughout the ride. It's really cool. I love it. It's fun.
Yeah, when you actually do the regular lineup ride, there's like a whole interactive thing with an animatronic thing of him. You don't really get to experience that portion on the. Well, I think towards the end you do, but for the most part, you don't get to experience that when you go in the single rider line. But yeah, so it's definitely worth going in the regular line to get a bit more of the experience, because again, they do more. Some rides, the lines, there's just nothing at all in terms of interactivity. And then other rides, they do a great job of interactivity. This one, they do a great job of interactivity while you're waiting in line, so you're not just feeling completely bored and everything. But yeah, the single rider line definitely made it an experience.
Hondo Anaka, that's his name. Hondo Anaka. I remembered, sorry. But yeah, it's a fun ride. I like it. It's it was definitely like a dream come true to go, like, basically be inside the, you know, cockpit of the fucking Millennium Falcon.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite things of all time. I can't wait. We could probably do a whole fucking episode just on Galaxy's Edge itself. I mean, there's so much stuff to do there, Dave. We're going to have to do some other things when we go another time. But yeah, let's get into the final ride of the trip.
Well, before we do that, we did miss one thing. We missed Mickey and Minnie's vacation fun.
What the fuck is that?
It's like the short little movie where you go in and you sit down and you watch the movie, and it's Mickey and Minnie are trying to go on vacation with each other. We did it in September.
We did?
Yeah.
is that right beside the exit to the Frozen sing-along?
It might be, because it is another theater. Because it's a movie, it's like a little 5-10 minute movie that you're watching. So it might be where it is. I can't remember exactly where it is. Let me look up on the Disney app and see where it is.
I'm pretty sure that's where it is. Because the only other thing I could think of, it would be like around like, but no, that's Walt's dream, one man dream show. Remember that one?
Yes. I don't think we actually watched the actual, because there is a show for that one, isn't there? Yeah. But we just walked in and saw like the little museum and stuff that's dedicated to his life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Vacation fun. Yeah. So it's in the theater right next to the Frozen sing-along. So I think we probably did that after Frozen. We may have even done it before Frozen. But yeah, they're right next door to each other. But we did do it. But yeah, Josh doesn't even remember it. I remember doing it. I don't really remember much about the movie itself. So it's one that I'll give a 5. I'll have to get back there and do it again to give it a better rating. But yeah, it's definitely one that's not super memorable. So I am going to give it a 5, but it is definitely one that we did in September.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. So I can't even tell you what the fuck it is, to be honest with you. Couldn't fucking tell you. But yeah, back to what I was saying. Our final ride of the trip. Well, it wasn't the final ride of the trip, but the final ride that we're going to talk about right now. And it is The Rise of the Resistance.
It's hard to give this anything other than a 10. This is just such a great experience. Like, even, I mean, the first part of the lineup, like, yeah, it is a long lineup, and yeah, there's a long period where you don't do anything. But once you get to the interactive part of the lineup, just before you start getting into the ride, there's a hologram of Rey that pops up that tells you what the mission is. It's such a great ride. They did such a great job of this. It, like I said, it's hard to rank this with anything other than a 10. This is as close to a perfect ride as you can get. It's absolute. I think this is probably the ride I went on the most, both in September and in January, because we did it at least 2 times in September. I think maybe 3. And I know I definitely did it 3 times in January, maybe even 4, because I think I did it at least twice on my own. And I know you, Av, and I did it once late at night, because it was like sort of 15 minutes before the park closes. And obviously they keep the rides open right until the park closes. So if you're in line before the park closes, you still get to go on the ride. So, and I know you, me, and Av definitely did it like super late at night just before the park closed. So definitely 3 times in January, maybe 4, and then definitely twice in September, maybe 3 times. So anywhere, I was on that ride anywhere 5 to 7 times altogether in our 2 trips. And yeah, it's such a fun ride. It is amazing. You start off, you know, on a ship with the Resistance, which gets captured by the First Order, and you get taken into what I want to say the Death Star, because I don't know what the new ships are, because I haven't seen the
Star
new
Cruiser.
Movies. Okay, Star Cruiser. And, you know, you're going to be intimidated by the First Order, and there's a scene where, well, first of all, you get greeted by the cast members that are dressed as First Orders. First Order members, and I was trying my best to get them to break character, and I came close once. I came close once.
Bought the fucking hat.
I did. I bought the First Order. So after we wrote it the first time, I bought the First Order hat. And said I was here for my first day orientation.
I was here. You looked at one of them, you're like, I'm just here for training.
I was trying so hard to get them to break character. Like I said, I almost got one of them to do it, but they held tough. And so you get taken into this room where you're going to be interrogated. And I think on one of the times we went on the rides too, I asked if there was any other options besides being interrogated.
You just kept fucking with them.
And so you get taken into what's supposed to be interrogation. And then you see like Kylo Ren and like one of the commanding officers that are underneath him. They're talking, and then all of a sudden you get rescued by the resistance, and they're putting you in these cars that they're controlling to get you out of the Star Cruiser. And there's a lot of spinning that goes along, and I know I said I don't like drop rides, but there is like a sort of a mini drop on this ride towards the end, and it's fun. It's just so much fun. I love it. Again, it's the ride that I was on the most in our two trips in Disney World, and it's definitely one that I would go on every time I'm at Hollywood Studios. 10 out of 10 for me. It's an absolutely perfect ride. It's one of the rides where it actually is worth the wait time, because not only, obviously, you know, the wait time's typically over an hour, but there's so much to do, and the ride is actually worth it. Like, the whole experience itself, from the time that you first see the interactive hologram of Rey to the time the ride finishes, is about 15-20 minutes. So it's definitely worth the wait in the lineup, which is a rarity with a lot of rides at Disney World. Sometimes the rides just don't live up to the wait times. But yeah, this is definitely one that's just an absolutely perfect ride. They knocked it absolutely out of the park on this one.
Yeah, no, agreed. It is absolutely my favorite ride at Disney World now. Guardians came close to beating it, but no, actually, I'm sorry, it didn't. Guardians is a great ride. Guardians is probably the best ride at Epcot, followed closely behind Frozen. But Hollywood Studios has always been my favorite. It's a little bit more adult-oriented than kids compared to, like, Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
And I always loved it because they always had... Because, again, I've been a giant Star Wars nerd since I can remember. So I always loved Star Tours, and then I loved Tower of Terror and everything. But then when they decided they were going to do this, I got stupid excited. And when they first opened it, I made sure I went on it. And, oh, my God, it's just... It's such a fantastic ride. There's so much going on. Like you said, it's probably 15 to 20 minutes, the whole ride experience in itself. And just the way you're in this... It's like a trackless ride again, just like Mickey and Minnie's and Remy's Ratatouille ride. But it takes you through different things. It's so much fun. There's so much Star Wars going on. You go up in a little elevator, then, like Jake said, you drop. If you drop maybe 5 feet. But it just, the simulator that you're in, it makes you feel like you're flying from outer space down to a planet. And it's just so much fun. I remember the first time we took you on that, and that drop happened, and you're like, whoa! But you were just freaking out, but you were loving it.
Well, awesome. Yeah, because you did warn me that the drop was coming. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's so much fun. I loved it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it is definitely hands down my favorite ride at Disney World now. I don't think anything's ever going to beat it.
It'll be hard.
Tron's out. I will try Tron this upcoming trip, but I don't think it's going to win. Nothing's going to be Rise of the Resistance. It is the most perfect ride at Disney.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's as close to a perfect ride as you can get. It's amazing. I absolutely love it.
And that's Hollywood Studios, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. And before we start closing this one down, I'm going to ask you, how would you rank the parks, Josh, ranking them 1 to 4? What order would you put them in?
Whoa. Okay. Four is definitely going to be Animal Kingdom.
Oh, fuck.
Three will be Epcot. Because as much as I like Epcot, Epcot to me, I only really, like, I don't mind showing up once. Unless it's in, Epcot is only go multiple times when Food and Wine is happening. When Food and Wine is not happening, I will typically only go to it once because I know I can hit it all in like half a day. So that's why Epcot is third. Granted, like Guardians makes it almost like makes me want to go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I have to go.
Okay.
Two is going to be Hollywood Studios.
Ooh, okay.
Because I love Hollywood Studios. It's very close. Like it could change on any given day between two and one. But one is Magic Kingdom, and that's mostly Magic Kingdom is one because I've been going there since I can remember. I remember the very first time we ever went to Disney World. I was like six or five, and my sister was just, she was like a few months old. I have all those pictures still. I still have a ticket stub from that. Okay. And the thing with Magic Kingdom is that was my mom's favorite park as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of good memories of going to there with my mom.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, Peter Pan is my favorite thing. It just makes me, I have that nostalgic feeling when I'm at Magic Kingdom. And it's not just the rides, it's also the fireworks. It also, and I have said it before, this thing with Disney and why I love going to Disney so much is that it makes me feel like I'm with her. She's here with me.
Yeah.
In a sense. And I feel closer to her, even though like it's a different country. It's not where we live, but it was one of our favorite things to do every year was go to Disney at least once a year. And that's why I still try to do that at least once a year. Even during COVID, I went once a year. It takes a lot for me not to go at least once a year because I love it.
Yep.
So it's always going to be Magic Kingdom. Many different reasons why, but yeah. Definitely Magic Kingdom is number one. It's the most magical place on earth.
So I would have to agree with you on number four, Animal Kingdom. Definitely the number four park for me. Number three, you're going to hate me for it, but I'm going to put Magic Kingdom at number three. It's one that there are some really good rides there, and it's definitely the busiest of the parks, obviously, yeah. Because that's one everyone wants to go to. And for me, like, a lot of the rides, I mean, like I said, there are a lot of good rides there, but for me, the rides aren't worth the crowds
mm-hmm.
of Magic Kingdom. And yeah, there's a lot of cool things that go on, like the fireworks and stuff, but
the parades
and a lot of the good shops and everything is there too. But for me, it's one of those ones where, like Animal Kingdom, if I'm just going to go there for 3 or 4 days and I can only hit like maybe two parks, if I can't hit everything, like Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom would probably be the two that I would skip over. For me, it's easily a toss up. Like it can flip.
Like I said, right?
it can flip on a dime. But right now, I'm probably going to put Hollywood Studios at number two. Obviously, as you said, it is more of the adult themed rides, and the three Star Wars rides absolutely knock it out of the park. But for me, one of the biggest reasons that I'm putting Epcot at number one, like you said, is it is one that you can pretty much hit in half a day. Like you can do all the rides that you want to do in half a day. And for me, that's awesome because you can do everything you want to do. But also on top of that, it has all the rides where you can just sit down and relax, especially if you are there on a hot day and you've been walking a lot. You know, you've got Spaceship Earth, you got Grand Fiesta. What's the other one that we were talking about at Epcot where you can just sort of sit down and relax for a while? I know those two definitely. I'm sure there was one more that we meant. Well, one that we didn't do was the
Living with the Land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that one.
I kind of want to experience that one just once to see what it's like. But yeah, definitely like Spaceship Earth and Grand Fiesta. You know, Epcot is great to just have some slow, relaxing rides that get you out of the heat and off your feet for a while. It's got Turtle Talk with Crush. It's got Frozen. It's got the Frozen ride, which is amazing. It does host so many different festivals, and obviously not every festival is going to be one that we like. Like, I wouldn't go there to see the Garden Festival. I don't care about that shit, to be honest. But, like, I loved the Art Festival when we were there in January and they had the art.
Do you know how hard I had to be not to buy a fucking art piece?
There is some really amazing art. And there's like they had like art, chalk art on the sidewalk as well on the bridge, and it like and obviously Food and Wine is probably both of our favorite festivals at Epcot. Yep. So, I mean, for me, Epcot and Hollywood Studios, like I said, are interchangeable in that one and two spot. But those are the reasons why Epcot, for me, I'm ranking it number one right now. And, I mean, of course, you got Figment, man. You got Journey into Imagination. That's the other slow ride. I mean, it's only like 7 minutes, so it's not as long as Grand Fiesta or... Well, I think Grand Fiesta is probably about the same amount of time. I think that's like 7 to 10 minutes as well. Definitely not as long as Spaceship Earth. But, yeah, it's just another one where you can go in and relax, and it's a fun, silly little ride that gets you out of the heat and off your feet. And yeah, now they've got the Figment meet and greet, which just opened today as of this recording. And oh, I got to get back and do the Figment meet and greet so bad. But yeah, so for me, Epcot is number one.
That's fair. That's solid. No, so we agreed on two. We agreed on four. One and three is where we switch up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And we both agree that Hollywood Studios can be interchangeable between one and two.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing.
But we're going to wrap it up now because we're at an hour and 35 minutes. So that's going to be a lot of fucking editing for me. And so, but yeah, so we're going to wrap it up. We appreciate you guys coming along on the journey. We already said at the beginning of the show what the next couple of upcoming episodes are going to look like. So, and Josh is going to go away in a couple weeks and he'll come back and tell us all about Tron Legacy, Light Cycle Run. You can find the show on most major podcasts and platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and of course Podbean, Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod.podbean.com. I'm still getting used to all the socials again. All the links and stuff will be down below. You can go to shop.spreadshirt.com/ Ocho or Ocho and Ortiz Disney Pod. Again, I think that's the link, but the proper link will be in the description down below if you want to buy some merch and help support the show that way. But yeah, just if you like this show, just share it with your friends, let them know where they can find us, and help the show grow, because we enjoy doing this show and we would greatly appreciate any support that we can get. Having said that, as always, whether you're listening to this in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, whatever time of day it is, wherever you are when you're listening to this, we thank you for listening. We appreciate you listening. And we will talk to you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Later.